This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:07 and this is the evening edition with Sharmila and Lynn. First up, a little bit of a lighter news story for a break from all of the heavy things that we've been talking about recently. This is an interesting one that went viral just yesterday. And it all started, I think, with a video that Adiba Noor posted on Monday, which was herself correcting a TV presenter's pronunciation of the word wilderness. So the presenter on TV had pronounced it wilderness. And so that kind of became a teaching moment, but also something that a lot of people have now been talking about.
Yeah, so she did say before doing it that she had no intention of bringing anybody down, saying that it's, you know, this is for the sake of learning. It's not meant to cause offense. It has since gotten over 85,000 views and 2,000 retweets, which is like a personal nightmare. It's been released into the wilderness, some might say.
No.
Okay, I apologize. But just for some background, Adiba used to be an English teacher. So that's, I think, a little bit where this is coming from. And she said that because of that, she does feel duty bound to ensure that her fellow artists, especially those who work in the media, who are radio announcers, who are TV presenters, for example, pronounce English words correctly.
Yeah, so this goes back to this idea of, is it okay really to correct someone's English? In what context is it okay? What does it feel like when you're at the receiving end of it? Now, Adiba has a track record of doing this. And in that same way, she's quite gentle and nice about it. She doesn't feel, it doesn't come across as her being critical, really. Mm-hmm. She highlighted, for instance, the mispronunciation that announcers usually make when it comes to words like doubt and debt, pronouncing the letter B in it. In 2018, she gave a tutorial on Instagram on how to pronounce certain movie titles correctly. For instance, Predator and not Predator. Mm. So I think it comes from a good place, but I think we also see a lot of this in other contexts where it may not feel so comfortable, I think.
No, to be fair, there are certain words that I think collectively many, many, many of us mispronounce on a regular basis. I was something like, 28 years old when I found out the proper pronunciation for salmon. Before that, I had been saying the L constantly because it was a word that I'd read more than I'd said. I think I'm trying to get this right. Photographer as opposed to photographer is one that also is often said. So I think that there's a whole series of words. I think of something like anorexia and anorexia. So I feel as if there's some words that we frequently stumble over as Malaysians. I'm not exactly sure what it is. I don't know if this is the peril of speaking more than one language, of most of us being at least bilingual. I don't know exactly what happens. There are, however, some very commonly mispronounced words.
And I think that some of it also has to do with, you know, how a word is spelt, you know, its context, you know, what it means. You've probably never had occasion to use it in conversation. And so sometimes the first time you do it, or the rare occasion when you do, you stumble or you suddenly realize, I actually don't know how to say this out loud. But I also think that the context matters, right? Because when it's a newsreader, when it's a professional setting, when it's a teacher, you'll probably expect that they do perhaps a little bit more due diligence before putting themselves in that position. And I think that's where, someone like Adiba comes in, because I think she sees this as setting an example almost.
So I think we should be honest, Sharmila, and talk about how this is a nightmare.
Because
as people who work in the media, as people who are working on radio in particular, I think pronunciation is such a minefield, right? And as people who speak for a living, it's something that we think about often. And it amazes me how there are so many words that you think you know how to pronounce until the time comes that you actually have to say it aloud. And so I understand the impulse, the good-hearted impulse to correct somebody. I think almost everybody on the station at some point has been corrected by either a colleague or a listener about how exactly to pronounce something. And it's always to your benefit, generally, to know that, to get that correction. But it can also be a very It can give you a complex, I think, in the wrong circumstance, and especially if English is not your first or second language.
No, and colleague, I will say right off, is much easier than listener because...
Because which is not to say don't correct us.
This is true. But with kindness might be nice. And sometimes I will admit that I do know how the word is pronounced, but you have what's called a brain jam moment. And you, like photographer, for instance, that's one of those words that I say it differently depending on where my brain is at. Mm. So let us know, you know, how do you feel about correcting other people's pronunciation or English? Do you do it with a gentle nudge? Are you more militant about it? Or are you okay when someone corrects you? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. And after this, we will be speaking to Dr. Surinderpal Kaur from the Faculty of Languages and Linguistics at University of Malaya to find out more about this. Meanwhile, keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
It is 5:14 and this is the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. We are talking about a recent case of Adiba Noor actually correcting a news presenter's pronunciation of a particular word on social media, gently, kindly, as a way of bettering oneself, I suppose. But this got us thinking about how it feels when your English is corrected. Or do you correct others when you hear them making mistakes? Let us know. You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. We are now crossing over to someone who perhaps has more experience than others in doing this, Dr. Surinderpal Kaur, who is from the Faculty of Languages and Linguistics at the University of Malaya. Dr. Surin, thanks so much for joining us this evening.
You're most welcome. I'm very happy to join you here today.
So how do you feel about correcting someone's English? You know, is it an effective way to actually help us improve our command of the language?
I do it every day, but I do it in the context of the classroom. I correct the English in classroom. I don't do it out of classroom. And if I do it out of classroom, it's usually in private, in confidential. In class, it's okay because it's a safe learning environment. Outside of class, I think we need to be a little bit careful of people's, pride and not humiliate them in any way. And that's basically how I feel.
So I also wanted to know whether you've been on the receiving end of this, and how does it make you feel? How did you take it?
I'm always on the receiving end of it from some of my colleagues, because there are some words which I simply cannot pronounce. No matter how much you get me to pronounce them, I struggle with some of these words, you know. And so, but we turn it into a joke, and it's a joke. It's a running joke with some of us. So I do get corrected, and I do correct them, you know. But we treat it as very light, and it's a par for the course. As we are colleagues and we are working in languages and linguistics, we do look out for each other. So we take it as constructive criticism, and we try not to let it affect us personally. I don't think I have been actually corrected in public. I don't believe I have. No. Yeah.
Now, some of the criticism around this idea of correcting someone else's grammar mm-hmm. or pronunciation tends to be that it becomes an assertion of power. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, have you heard of the term a grammar Nazi?
Yes.
Okay. Now, there's this, some of us laughingly call ourselves that, you know, because we are language teachers, we're proficient in the language. But there are a group of people out there who do take grammar very seriously, who do take pronunciation very seriously, and they feel it's necessary for them to correct other people to fix whatever errors that are there. But, you know, in terms of pronunciation, we've got to look at the context. We are Malaysians. We often have a Malaysian accent when speaking in it. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with a Malaysian accent at all. In fact, we should celebrate that. And in this case, when we talk about, you know, English, it's not just one English. There are different types of Englishes, and therefore pronunciations change from place to place. So we should have a certain sense of pride in the Malaysian English and not marginalize it in favor of, you know, RP pronunciation from the United Kingdom, so on, or the Queen's English. We're not going to reach that. That's not who we are. Who we are Malaysians, and the Malaysian pronunciation is absolutely fine. However, there are people who take delight in it. And, well, to those people, I'd say, you know, tone it down a little. Yeah.
So I was thinking about this. Personally, I tend to value comprehension over accuracy. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, that was going to be my question, whether or not you agree with that.
Mm-hmm. I do. I value comprehension over accuracy. I think as long as I can understand the message and it's concise and it's clear to the point, I don't care if your pronunciation is going two sheets to the wind or your grammar is not complete. Maybe you're making, you know, singular plural mistakes, what we call subject-verb agreement mistakes. You know, the subject is plural, the verb should be plural, that kind of thing. That's very common. For me, it doesn't bother me when I'm listening to people talking. It does bother me when I'm reading something and it's supposed to be of an academic standard. That's when it starts bothering me, because this is of an academic standard. So I need to look at the context and the register. If I'm listening to someone at the market and they're speaking in English where, you know, it's not grammatical, I would shrug it off and I couldn't care less. It's perfectly fine. The whole context doesn't require them to speak in grammatical English. But yes, if I were to listen to a newscaster and the newscaster, the anchor, is not speaking very grammatically, then I would get concerned, because, you know, there are certain messages that need to be, you know, or certain standards that need to be maintained to some level, all right? But I certainly would probably write to that person and say, hey, you know, this is how you say something, or this is how you speak it, how you articulate your sentence. I've actually done that a few times to MCs and things like that, but always in private. Always in private. I always feel that you need to, you know, what we call jangan jatuhkan air muka mereka. Do not, you know, humiliate them in any way, because everyone's learning, and this is a learning experience for them and for us.
So what are some of those questions that you might want to ask yourself before you decide to take that step to correct someone?
Is it necessary to correct that person? Am I going to still be able to understand and comprehend what that person is saying, even with that grammar error? If it is, then, and if it's a small error, then you know what, let it go. But if it's something huge that drives you up the wall, you know, that you hear all the time, then yes, by all means, say something, but say it in a very tactful, diplomatic manner, and if possible, say it privately. One of the things that really gets my goat is the term revert, because, you know, it's a very business term. I'll be honest, I really hate that term as a language teacher. I know, because, you know, the word revert to me is to go back to your original state, you know. So I will revert to you, and you're like, no, that's not what it means. But you know what? It has now become an accepted practice, and to the extent that it's now, it's business jargon. It's acceptable in the business world. And so I as much as it gets my goat, as much as I find, like, you know, it is like nails on the blackboard, you know, I tend to just ignore it and say that is within the register of that particular domain. You know, it's a technological, you know, it's their language, so it's fine. I should not say anything about that, you know, that kind of thing. The other thing that gets my goat is that I'm in an academic environment, and pronunciation does matter to me to some extent. So I'm so used to saying faculty, and then along comes somebody else who goes faculty. And, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm not saying anything, because that's the way they pronounce it, you know. But sometimes in private, if it's my student, I do tell them it's faculty. It's not faculty. It's just a question of the stress being in the wrong place. And, you know, it doesn't change the meaning. But if I were to step up and say, hey, hello, you know, to my vice chancellor or to someone up there, you know, we are saying it's wrong in public, that doesn't make me a better person, you know. So if I want to correct somebody, it is to make sure that they sound better, not to make me feel better.
I have to say, though, that faculty sounds very much like a cult that is in a faculty, which in and of itself might
be actually a very Malaysian thing to say faculty. Yeah.
It might be a great short story. yes. So for someone who perhaps has been on the receiving end of a correction and perhaps is feeling discouraged about it, what advice would you offer?
I would tell them not to, I would tell all of you not to be discouraged by it, you know. Take it as constructive criticism. Do not take it as something that is meant to humiliate you in any way. Learn from it, shrug it off and move on, and make sure you don't make that mistake again, you know. So to people who will want to criticize, I would say, you know, just be careful how you quote your criticism. Are you quoting it to help the person, or are you quoting it to make yourself feel better? You're not the expert in everything. So to help the person genuinely, that's great. You know, but if you are showing that you are better than that other person, then that's the no-go for me. And we need to always value human relationships. I think those are far more important, and comprehension is far more important than grammatical accuracy.
Before we let you go, Dr. Surin, sure. You know, and as someone who has made plenty of these on air in a very public mm-hmm. way, what are some of the most common mistakes that you hear when it comes to pronunciation, and what are some ways in which we can avoid them?
I think one pronunciation, oh gosh, where do I start? Malaysians have a very, very peculiar way of saying certain words, certain things, you know. Faculty is one of them. It's not that the pronunciation is wrong, it's just that the stress is on the wrong word in the intonation, that's all, you know. How do you fix it? I think knowledge of phonetics is helpful, but not everybody has that knowledge. So, you know, these days you're on the internet, you can actually just click on a word and you can hear the actual pronunciation. Go learn. And if you have said it wrongly, learn. And if someone has pointed it out to you, learn and go and find out the right way to say it. Before you actually go on air, before you make a public speech, check on all your words and see if I'm pronouncing things correctly. Listen to yourself, record yourself, listen to yourself. And if you think there's something wrong, then go check on that.
Dr. Surin, thanks so much for speaking with us. That was Dr. Surin Dapalkor from the Faculty of Languages and Linguistics at the University of Malaya. So let us know what you think, how you feel about correcting other people's pronunciation or their English, or are you okay when someone corrects you? That number to call, 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. We do have someone on the line. Rizal, how are you doing? What are your thoughts?
Fine, thank you. I think I'm taking a look at it more towards utilizing social media as a platform to do this. And I think that's quite negative because you know how it is with social media like Twitter and all these things. I actually got that FYP on TikTok yesterday, and I was taking a look at it and said, oh my God. And then so the thing is, because it amplifies the whole thing. You know, she has now 80,000 viewers. You know, that's not the whole point, because the impact is you want it corrected, and you want people to actually, you know, because if the guy is offended, then he would actually continue on saying wilderness or something like that, you know, going on, and it won't, you know, achieve the positive effect that you want to. So I think social media is a very tricky thing to she should have make it more downplayed even the newscaster and just, you know, educate her followers instead. Mm. So I think that is something that you need to look at, because I've seen, especially now it's on TikTok, I've seen a lot of negative implications on doing this. People get depressed. So you get into a whole, and it's so funny because it's just out of a mispronunciation or something. You don't want that. I'm not saying that it's going to happen. So that's the thing. So if I were the newscaster, I would probably come up with a TikTok and do a song about wilderness and wilderness. And then just, you know, throw it out there, and then it will be a non-issue anymore.
You know, Rizal, you don't have to be the newscaster to do that. You can do it anyway.
I'll probably get 160,000 followers after this.
Thank you so much, Rizal, for calling.
Welcome. Thank you very much.
So earlier we did accidentally lose Dr. Surin, and she's just got in touch with us to let us know that the last thing she wanted to leave us with was to just laugh off your mistakes, but to also learn from them, which I think is a lovely thought too, as we all forge on into this world of mispronouncing words.
To be honest, I think the main theme here is to, on both sides, not take it so seriously. So perhaps if you're the person offering the correction, to go back to what Dr. Surin says, to not come from the place of being an expert somehow, you know, because of course none of us are going to be perfect all the time. And then on the flip side, if you're the person receiving the correction, to not take it as a general comment about your whole being or your capacity for the language, but simply that, you know what, some people, ourselves included, time and time again, just have never had the occasion to use certain words.
No, and I think the way you say it absolutely counts, right? Because you can tell when someone wants to say it in a way to make you feel bad versus when it's just a, hey, you know, actually that's said like this, which honestly we do off air all the time. Mm-hmm. So let us know, you know, what do you think? Do you make pronunciation mistakes? How do you go about telling others when they do? How do you feel when someone corrects you when you make them? Let us know. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.